Okay, good morning. Good to see lovely faces this morning. We've been looking at a series for the past, actually since last week, and this is the second part of that series. And we're looking at what I've called faith, trust, and love. Faith, trust, and love. And we also did like a Bible study thing on it on Friday as well, and we looked a lot. We looked a bit deeper at what faith, trust, and love have in common in the context of our lives. And I believe that we were able to establish, even from last week, that these are so fundamental. Faith is so fundamental to our Christian walk. We mentioned that that's the basis of our relationship with God. We looked at that extensively. We said the book of Hebrews says, if you're coming to God, you must believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We also mentioned that faith is the basis by which we receive God's promises, or that we embrace God's promises in our lives. And so we looked at all that last week. The other thing we did was that we looked at the definition of faith, like just regular dictionary definition of faith. We also looked at the definition of trust and the definition of love. And we said faith is a strong belief or trust in someone or something. Faith is a strong belief in someone or something. We looked at the definition of trust, and we say trust is belief in the reliability and the ability of someone or something. Then lastly, we looked at love. And we said that love is an emotion characterized by strong affection and commitment and desire for one's well-being. So we linked all of them together to say faith is believing in someone. Trust is believing in the ability or the capability of the person to do what they said they would do. And we said love is what holds it together during tough times. Because if you know that someone loves you, that means they have your best interest at heart. It's easier to trust that individual or that person when things get a bit tough. So that's what we looked at last week. Now, today I'm going to carry on from there, looking at the story of Abraham. So Abraham, can you mute the mics, please, behind me? It's echoing. So we're looking at the life of Abraham, who the Bible calls the father of faith, because he typified what it really means to have faith in God. And we began by looking at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. In that portion of scripture, God appears to Abraham, and he tells Abraham, leave your house, leave your country, leave everything that you're familiar with, and come with me, and I will take you to a land. I will take you somewhere that I'm going to show you. So Abraham had no precedent. There was no Bible. He hadn't really known anything about God, but he believed that this God that was speaking in him, had a plan for him. He packed up his family and he left where he was. And we realized that as we looked at Genesis chapter 12, still summarizing, verse 10, when he got to the land that God asked him to go to, verse 10 says that now there was famine in the land. So can you imagine, Abraham leaves everything that he has, leaves his house, his surroundings, where he's used to, believing that God has actually called him. He obeys God, goes to the land where God's taken him to, and he meets famine there. Well, what is famine? If you're thinking in your mind, what's famine? Don't worry. That means you're not born in the 18th century. Well, in those days, the way they lived was very agrarian. They didn't have Tesco's. They didn't have Sainsbury's. They didn't have Asda. All these places, they didn't have refrigeration. So what they lived on was they would farm, plant crops, wheat and all those things. They would now harvest. When all those things like finished, you know, like when they've grown up, is that the right thing for the plants? When the plants have now, come up, they would harvest the wheat, they would harvest everything, then that would be what they would eat maybe for another few months. And that was how they lived. So when there was famine, what that meant was that there was no food, basically. Nothing had grown. So they were facing starvation during those times. So that was where Abraham went to, and that was the first thing that he saw in obeying God's word. Now, I'm going to carry on today about still looking at this topic of faith, trust, and love, and looking at the life of Abraham still. And when we're looking at the life of this man, it will reflect a bit on some of the things that we experience in our lives as well, so that we can make a correlation and just see how God works and how we can really stand in faith. Remember, faith I define as a strong belief in someone or something. So Abraham, following his life, he obeys God and he moves. But in moving, there was a promise that God made to him that was very central to his life. And that plan that God had, I will read from Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. And this was one of the key promises that he made to Abraham. He said, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. He says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. So one of the main promises that God made to Abraham was that he was going to make him a great nation. Now, what that meant was that Abraham would have a lot of descendants, and he says his descendants would fill the earth. So basically, God promised that Abraham and his wife would have a child, because at this point, they didn't have any children at all. And Abraham was, I believe, around 75. His wife, probably about 65. And Abraham was excited. He was like, my goodness, God has chosen me to make me a great nation. I'm going to have loads of kids. I'm going to do this. This one, I'm going to name this one. Give me a name. What's your favorite name? James. Isaac. Oh, you guys, I mean, give me a name. Come on. Interesting name.
Peter.
Malachi. They know that these guys are Bible people. Peter, Malachi. Give me a... Sorry?
Paul.
Paul. Paul, Silas, Paul. Did someone just open their Bible and started reading out all the Bible names there? And they were excited. Like, man, our future is bright. That's what Abraham thought. Because God had told him this. So he had faith in God. He believed in God. He trusted in God and was like, Sarah, you're going to be a mother. Hey. And they were excited. You know, the same way that for us, maybe we read certain things in the Bible and we're like, yes, this is what God's going to do in my life. And we're excited. We pray to God and we read the promises of God in the Bible and it's like, God, you have said this concerning this. You said this concerning my future. You said this concerning where I am. And we read those things and we're excited that, wow, God has a good plan for me, like Abraham. So we believe God that he's going to turn things around in our lives, or he's going to guide us. That the life that he has planned for us, similar to Abraham, is going to be one that is fulfilling. So we're excited as well. Yeah. Then something begins to happen in the life of Abraham. And it brings me to the area I want to focus on today. I'm going to highlight a number of points here, then I'll focus on three of those points. Now, we're talking about faith, trust, and love. So a lot of the times we start off from a place that is a place of excitement, a place of expectation, a place of hope, a place of passion. But there are times that as we embrace what God has spoken to us, things don't always turn out the way we expect initially. And for Abraham, he was excited. They had named their kids. They had done all sorts of things. Abraham's 75. Then he hits 76. 1 year later. And he's like, well, yeah, God's good. Sarah. And he's excited. 77. 78, 79, 80. 5 years later, I'm excited. Don't worry, God's good. You know, he's coming to church. He's like in the choir. His son, you know, he's like all excited. He's going out and all that. Like, oh, this God that we're serving is great. Let me tell you about him. Oh, and he's so excited. 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 10 years. Wow. '86, '87, '88, '89, '90, 15 years later. How should Abraham still have been responding? Would he still have been excited? Would he still have been excited? 15 years later, he's 90. By that time, his wife is 80. And she's like, man, what's happening? We've been expecting this thing to happen. By that time, his voice will have calmed down. So maybe in church, he used to, you know, went early days, he'd be like, praise the Lord, choir. You're like, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, ain't you dancing? And, it, you know, Abraham would be like, yeah. By the time he hit the 15th year, man, Abraham would be like, yeah, right. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. The voice is calming down a bit. The excitement is dwindling a bit. He still keeps on anyway. Do you get what I mean? 91, 92, 93, 94, 95. 20 years later. 96, 97. Man, I don't know what Abraham must have been thinking in his mind. At this point, Abraham's faith begins to falter. Rightly so. If it was you, I mean, God told you something 20-something years down the line. I mean, what would you? You'd have all sorts of thoughts. He begins to have all sorts of worries. Will this thing ever happen? Will I ever get out of this trouble that I'm in? I prayed, will this thing God said about me, will it ever come to pass? And those are valid questions to ask 20-something years later. Do you get what I'm saying here? So his faith begins to falter. It's the same way for us sometimes. We're praying. Oh, by the time I prayed and all, you know, and our faith sometimes begins to falter. Rightly so. The excitement begins to wane sometimes. It's like, man, I'm just tired. I just want to lie in bed. Switch my phone on. If Pastor Benson calls me, I will. Anyway, you guys, you won't ignore my call. You pick the call, right? Or message me back. Unavailable. You know what I mean? And his faith begins to falter a bit. So, how do I know his faith begins to falter? If you look at Genesis chapter, well, the first thing, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says something there. It says, hope deferred, I'm reading the King James Version, hope deferred makes the heart sick. The A part. So the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, that Hope deferred. That means when you're expecting something to happen, expecting, and it hasn't happened, it can make your heart sick. Not your body, in this instance, your heart. Your heart can become heavy. Your heart can become weighed down. It's like, man, I'm just... So God says that, and he knows that as well. So Abraham's heart became weary. It became weighed down. Then, how do I know Abraham's faith had begun to wane? If you look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. God now comes to Abraham again, and he begins to talk to him. And Abraham said something quite interesting, face to face to God. That just shows me that, man, this guy, or this man, had really been through the ringer. Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. But Abraham, God was telling him these things. Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. So I said, God, what can you give me? What are you talking about, God? He almost said that, but I don't think he said it. And I said, well, the things you have promised me in Genesis earlier on, well, maybe it's not really what you want to do, but maybe it's this guy in my house that will inherit all my things since I don't have any kids. So he was indirectly telling God that, look, I'm not quite sure that this is going to happen. That was what he was telling God. So he had gotten to the place where he had been thinking, and he was like, man, this thing is not going to happen. God, maybe there's a plan B you're not telling me about. Maybe this thing is really not going to happen. I can accept it. That's what he was telling God. I can live with it, at least. Let me manage my own expectations. There's a part in the psalm where David, I've forgotten where exactly, I'll try and dig it out. And David said something to the in that psalm. He said, Lord, you have deceived me. You have made me hope on something that would not come true. David was saying to God, God, you've deceived me. You've made me put my hope. You've raised my hope and just crushed it. That's what you've done. That's what David was telling God. He said, you've deceived me. You've let me hope on something that will not happen. David was saying that in his own despair because David too suffered. God had told him, made promises to him, and he was going from trouble to trouble to trouble. And it's like, God, maybe you shouldn't have even raised my hope. Maybe I'll have been able to just go through life. Pastor B, why are you telling me all these things? Jeremiah 29, 11, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. Pastor Benson, why are you telling me all that? Don't tell me all that. Just tell me that, well, tell me something realistic. Don't raise my hopes. Don't raise my hopes, Pastor Benson. Just let me come to church. Let me sing. Don't preach any fancy message. Just let's read the Bible. Let me find somewhere. Let's just read something that says, God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. Let's stop there. Don't tell me God has a plan for me. Don't tell me all these things. Don't tell me all. That's what Abraham was saying. He said, look, God, I respect you. Can you imagine someone talking to God? I'm not quite. He said, God, you know what? I respect. It's a bit odd. I mean, if God was speaking to me, I'm not quite sure I'd have the... But he was honest. He had had it. Like, yeah, look, maybe previously. Sorry, I'm a bit cheeky here. You know, early days, you know, he will have accommodated God. Maybe he will have said, okay, God, you know, I believe that, you know, this thing is good, you know. But at this point, he had had it. He was like, look, I'm not going to pretend anymore. I'm not going to pretend I'm cool with this. Is there a plan B? Am I having any kids? Don't worry. All those things you're talking about, let's just put it aside, God. Let me just accept my faith. Accept reality. All this faith things. Enough of that. Yeah, you're defining faith, trust. Enough of the definitions. This is reality. This is reality. That's what he was telling God. This is reality. The reality is this, God. Is it this guy that's going to inherit everything? How? All these promises that you've made, will they ever happen? That's what Abraham was saying. So we see a man who had been through the ringer. When I say had been through the ringer, life had pressed him, forced him, done all sorts of things to him. That was where he was. So why does the Bible call this man the father of faith? Why is he used as an example to typify what it means to really have faith in God? You know, I love the Bible so much because the Bible highlights all the perspectives of an individual. The Bible just doesn't bring out the part that is strong. It just didn't say, and Abraham had faith, he was this. And the Bible allowed us to see that this man, like, he's human like us. He had his own doubts. He had his own challenges, just the same way you and I have ours. So he wasn't a superman. He was just like us. So the point now is this. Abraham now, something now begins to happen to Abraham. And that's where I want us to focus on this morning. Then we'll pray. Abraham had this conversation with God. A lot of things happened to him. But something happened to him. And I'll read Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 24. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 24. Talking about the new Abraham. The Abraham that something had happened, something had switched in his life. And let me read. It says in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 24. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was now about 100 years old, 25 years later, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credit to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credit to him," were written not for him alone, but for us also, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us to believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. So what happened here? We now read about Abraham in this context. He says he faced the fact that his body was dead. He said, look, this is the reality of where I am. He didn't try and cloak. He didn't try and say, oh, no. He looked at the situation face to face. And he said, look, he faced the fact and said, look, his body dead and all that. His wife's womb dead. But The Bible now begins to say something, that he did not waver at the promise of God. Instead, he became stronger. He became strong in the belief that what God had promised, he was able to deliver. How did he get there? What happened between when Abraham, 25 years, telling God, I don't think this thing is going to happen. Let me stop raising my hopes. Then he came to a point where he drew the line. And the Bible now says he faced the fact, he looked at what was going on around him. He didn't deceive himself. He said, yeah, this is exactly where I am. This is exactly the situation that I'm facing. These are the expectations that have not been met. These are my hopes that have been dashed. These are the challenges. These are the stresses I'm going through. These are the pressures that I'm going through. He faced it, and he didn't paint it. He didn't sugarcoat it. And irrespective of what he was facing and all those things, the Bible now tells us that he looked and he said, look, yes, this is the fact. I think you have to tap it. This TikTok thing. Yeah, I think someone has to tap it once in a while. Yeah, so he didn't sugarcoat anything. He faced the fact, but he now came to the point that he said, look, this is where I am. This is the situation. This is exactly what's happening in my life. However, I believe that God, whom I have faith in, is able to fulfill the promise that he made to me. Amen. Amen. Yeah? He said, yeah. God is able to fulfill the promise, irrespective of what is going on now. That is my stand, Abraham said. When God saw that, even God said, my goodness, what? You mean this is your position now? I said, yeah. God, thank you. This is my position. And God stepped back. I'm saying this paraphrasing, obviously. God stepped back and looked at him and said, wow, what a man. How can someone put their trust in me like this? You mean, Abraham, despite all these things, you still trust me? Despite the fact that 25 years, all these things, you still trust me? And Abraham said, yes. Despite not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, you still trust me, Abraham? Abraham said, yeah. Despite all these things that are, you still trust me? God was asking him. And Abraham said, yes, I do. Why? And he said, because I know that you are able to do what you've asked, what you said you will do. That's where I'm standing this morning, Abraham said. When he told God all that, God stepped back and said, yes, truly, this man is a man of faith. So how did he get there? God had to help him. I'll run through three points this morning, and God will really help us. I'm telling you. How did Abraham get there? I will highlight three things. And I believe that as we, I don't want to make it like a, like you go to the doctor, and they say, take three capsules, 1-3 times a day. If you get a bit fuzzy, drink more water. No, it's not like that, but at least let me give us some points. Oh, my goodness. So how did Abraham get there? God helped him. The same way God will help you this morning. The same way God will continue to help you. So that your faith, even though it might be a bit shaky sometimes, you can bring it back to the place where it's unwavering, like Abraham. So the first thing, I'll look at three things this morning, then we pray. The first thing is God had to deal with his imagination and his thought life. God had to deal with his imagination and his thought life. So, Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, it says, God took him outside and said, look up to the sky and count the stars, telling Abraham, if indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. He took Abraham outside and he said, Abraham, look at the stars, count them. Obviously, he couldn't count them. He says, if you can count the stars, then you can count what your offspring will look like. So God began to work on his thinking, his imagination. So the first thing I believe we need to work on is that. And when I say our imagination, you know, someone can die 1,000 deaths before they die. That's one can think, oh man, this is how this thing can happen to me. And you're thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. God is saying here, why don't you begin to imagine and think about what God has said to you happening? Why don't you meditate on that? Leave all the negative things behind. Remove all the negative thoughts that you have from your mind and focus on positive thoughts that God has promised he's going to fulfill this thing. If you're expecting like something to happen in your life, why don't you begin to imagine that thing, you're living in that thing already? Why don't you begin to live in that and be excited? Let your imaginations project that. If you want to be like an international gospel singer, for example, why don't you imagine yourself there? Imagine yourself singing. I mean, if I want to be like the best guitarist and all that, you know, all that requires practice, then why don't I begin to think about myself in that way? If you want to be, you're thinking, oh, I want to be a great mom. I want my kids to be this. Why don't you begin to think about your kids being like that, about you being a great mom, great dad? God had to deal with his imagination and his thought life. And that's something you and I have to deal with, because otherwise we will end up in the rabbit hole of negative thinking. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Any thought that comes to your mind that is negative, oh, I don't think this thing is going to happen, delete it from your mind. Anything that comes, oh, this can never happen, this is just that person, it didn't happen for that person, the government said that. Delete those thoughts from your mind and think good thoughts. Thoughts of what Christ has concerning you. So you need to deal with your imagination to start with and live in the happy place. You understand? Live in the happy place. In your mind. All those thoughts, delete them. I'm serious. Not that they don't exist, delete them. Don't live there. Delete them. The Bible says, bring all those funny thoughts captive, all those fearful thoughts, refuse them. Delete them, refuse them. Don't let them settle. Live in the happy place in your mind. You understand what I'm saying? All these things that I'm saying, they seem simple, right? So your mind, your thoughts, don't let it go in the direction you don't want it to. Number one, three things. Number two, Abraham spoke to God and he prayed to God. So the second thing is, constantly communicating with God in prayer. Psalm 119, verse 28 says, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. David was telling God, look, my soul is weary, but strengthen me. So the second thing is really praying to God. Anytime we're going through those emotions and all that, pray. You know, just pray. James chapter 5 verse 13 says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. So we need to communicate with God regularly our emotions, our aspirations, and our hopes. Abraham spoke to God, and he was in speaking to God. God began to show him, count the stars. So as we pray, God begins to speak certain things to our spirit. He lifts up our spirit. So three things. The first one, about how do we get to the place where our faith is rekindled and strengthened. The first one, like I mentioned, is taking control of our thought life. Second one is praying. And the third is really focusing on God's word and what it tells us. Let God's word persuade you. Romans 4:21 says, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God, Jesus answered. So let's reflect on what the Bible says about you and I, so that our faith will be in God. So the same way God did it for Abraham, and he did it for so many people in the Bible, as we meditate on God's word and God's promises to us, then the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. It does something to you and I supernaturally. Amen. So I'm going to stop there this morning. So we've looked at faith, trust, and love. We looked at the fact that Abraham, that the Bible calls the father of faith, started from a place of strong faith, and it dwindled. Not because he had done anything, but life just took him through the ringer. But Abraham got to a point where everything changed in his life, his perspective changed. So we saw the frailties of Abraham. We saw how tired he was, how fed up he was, I think. But he came back to a place that was even stronger than he had been at the beginning. And we said three things that I believe can help us to return to the place of faith and stay in the place of faith. The first one is taking control of our thought life and our imagination. The second one is praying to God all the time. And the third is really reflecting on the Word of God. Reading the Bible. Thinking about what we've read in the Bible concerning all the things that God has spoken concerning us. And as we do that, gradually, strength will return to your faith. Your faith will be strengthened. My faith will be strengthened. Even though we might be going through like really interesting times. Let us pray. This morning, I just want us to pray. And the prayer I want us to pray this morning is a personal prayer. And the prayer is this: God, help me, help my faith. Help my faith. Help my faith for myself, help my faith for others. Help me to believe in the things that you have spoken concerning me. Help me to believe that I am who you say I am, that you will do what you've said you will do. Ask God this morning to help you, to strengthen your faith this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. Our Father and our King, the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Father, this morning we are asking that you will rekindle the faith that you have given us internally. Father, we pray that you will help us. Father, we pray for all our brothers and all our sisters, the ones that are here, the ones that are not even here, that, Lord, you will reach out to their hearts, that you will strengthen their faith. That you will strengthen their faith, O God. Father, we lift up everyone now who might be experiencing one challenge or the other. They're like Abraham, they've had it. Lord, bring them back to the place of faith, oh God, in you. Let your word that we have spoken this morning, let it meet them where they are. Let that word seek them out, oh God. Father, we join our faith together for anyone who is experiencing any kind of hardship. Lord, bring peace into that situation in the name of Jesus. Father, we read that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Lord, we are agreed together this morning that every expectation that we have, Father, you have said to us as a church, Isaiah 55:11, this is the month of fulfillment. Bring those promises to pass quickly, Father, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Father, you said hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a promise fulfilled is like a tree of life. Father, let the promises that you've spoken to us be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we honor you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of your word. Thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for your favor towards us. Thank you that you care about us so much. Bible says, who is man? What is man that you're mindful of him? Thank you for being mindful of us. In Jesus' name.